Welcome back to So There I Was. I'm your host again, Travis Womack. Today's very special guest is none other than Mark Parrish, coming to us from Utah. Mark's had a stellar career in the Army from 2000 to 2008 and is currently an owner of 18, is that right?
That's correct.
McDonald franchises, which is so we're gonna have a pretty awesome conversation for sure today. So Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah, no, Travis, I appreciate it. And I appreciate your mission and what you're working on. I think it's a beautiful thing. So thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I appreciate that. It's a veterans and sharing their stories is a unique thing. And everybody, there's a lot of shows out there and love them to death. I think Sean Ryan does a great job, you know, and of, but there are a lot of special op things, and that's only a small percentage of people that serve our secret squirrels, as I call them. You know, the rest of us are the 99% that weren't that. You know, we have a unique career, but also like to talk about how your influence and your time in the Army and how you've migrated into a stellar operation, to say the least. To have one franchise of any sort is one thing, and 18 is another. So, but what I like to do with any guest is kind of go back to that starting point of, you know, 2000 when you joined the National Guard. Kind of what that's pre 9/11, so that's a different beast in itself, you know. So, what was your kind of driving factor to go raise your hand and say an oath?
I know. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy because I thought about that when I was 16, 17, I never thought I was going to join the military. My parents were against it. I was kind of against it because I just didn't see the purpose of the time. I knew already inside that I loved my country, and I knew that our country was special. And I knew that there had to be someone that was always there to be able to volunteer to protect that. But at the time, I'm just like, no, I'm just going to go to high school. I'm going to college. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So generally speaking, we go on a 2-year mission.
Right.
And I went to Brazil. I went to Recife, Brazil for 2 years. So I'm like, that's where I'm going to go serve. I'm not going to go serve in the military as well. But I graduated from high school. I'm 17 years old. And at the time, you couldn't go on to your Mormon or Church of Jesus Christ mission until you're 19. So I'm like, flip, what am I going to do during all this time? And so that's where it's like, all right, I started doing a little bit of college. Grades weren't going well because I wasn't, you know, I was sick of school, didn't really want to do school. So I'm like, I need to find a greater purpose in my life and something that's going to drive me, help me become a better person, and then also just keep me out of trouble. So decided to sign up, go to basic training, and I was probably one of the quickest people to be able to do so. I think I was 3 weeks or 4 weeks from the time that I enlisted until I was at basic training, Fort Sill, Oklahoma, in the middle of the summer, and then, you know, there for a little over 6 months. And so the timing of me deciding I should join the military was probably a 2-week thing where it was not a part of my life at all. And all of a sudden I'm like, all right, never mind, let's do it.
That's
And
crazy.
This conversation with my parents, I could tell their nervousness, right? Because they knew and understood what it meant more than I did. For me, I'm like, I've had friends that have gone, and they've gone to basic training, and they've told me some stories, but you don't know what it's like. And it's different for everybody. And so my parents were very cautious. They didn't really want me to do it. But looking back at it today, man, I wouldn't change anything. The mistakes, the good things, the bad things.
You went to Fort Sill in the summertime, and that's a bad thing.
Dude, it was horrible because I was also there in the winter. We're doing our graduation ceremony, and we're walking on a sheet of ice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We had soldiers. I was a platoon guide at the time, so I'm marching us around. We had soldiers slipping and falling when we're taking turns as we're going to. Like, oh my gosh, this is a friggin' nightmare. But yeah, I had both the hot and the dry and the cold.
Oh, that's the funny thing I always tell people when they get to Fort Sill is it's not the cold, it's the wind just makes everything just ice, and it's miserable to drive. It's miserable to, you obviously weren't driving, you're in training, but it's a miserable environment. I was stationed there for 4 years, and it's like, oh crap, here comes the wind. And like last night, you
The
what?
crappy boots, they just slipped on anything, right? They just got a little wet. And so, yeah, it was the nightmare.
That's awful.
But a great,
So as an artilleryman, National Guard, so you finished training, AIT, all, did you go straight
I
through?
did both together. Same drill sergeant. I was one of those guys that you went to bed one day and it was basically woke up the next day. It was AIT, same drill sergeant, and everything just kept.
So good deal. And so you went back to Utah after that, or
I did.
okay.
Yeah, went back to Utah, and then I'm still just trying to figure out what do I want to do? Who do I want to be? And what that identity was going to be. So then I go on that 2 year mission, you know, so I did my 2 years inactive, and that's when 9/11 happened. So I'm in a place called São Paulo, Brazil, what we call the Missionary Training Center. And I'm walking down the streets and they're like, "Americans, Americans, hey, come look at this." And they're showing the TV of the Twin Towers.
Oh.
And I'm like, holy cow, I've only been in Brazil now for like 3 weeks. I'm supposed to be here for 2 years, and I see this happening. So now it's like, am I even going to be able to serve this Christian mission, or am I going to have to go back and be called up to war and all that kind of stuff? So it, you know, it obviously, it's like, all right, I had this plan, and now things keep changing and not sure how it's going to be. But that's the military story for me my entire life. Yeah.
Wow, that's I couldn't imagine being in Brazil. That is crazy. You're the first. I think you're in the top two now for the craziest places to be on 9/11. Because I had a guy on the show a couple years ago who's on the USS Alabama, the nuclear
Oh, wow.
submarine, and they had just returned to port on the West Coast on September the 10th at like
Yeah.
nine at night, and they all disembarked. And they had like a day of leave, and he's guarding the boat when 9/11 happened. He's like, everybody was coming back, and they get back in the boat, and they just the best place to be is out in the ocean, you know. And
Yeah.
so Brazil, that's crazy, because the understanding of things is like you just finished basic training, AIT. So like, I would
Yeah.
assume like most trainees, there's like this like rise of patriotism, you know, and whatnot.
Totally.
How did you handle that decision? What did you end up doing?
Well, I wasn't going to take the decision in my own hands, because I'm like, I've already made this 2 year commitment. I'm already here in Brazil. And so I'm like, if they call me, obviously I'm going. Like, it's
Yeah.
game time. But at the same time, is we're walking down the street. I'd only been there a few weeks. I didn't speak Portuguese yet. I had very limited, so I'm trying to just understand the whole situation and what's going on. It was crazy. But that and but it, the sad part is I missed the time where the entire country seemed to unite behind
Yeah.
that incident happened. I wasn't there for that. I didn't get to see where, you know, politics no longer divided people, and
Yeah.
everybody was just like believing in America and its greatness and thinking that we need to protect that.
You get to
So
watch the
I did
Yankees
miss that part.
Mets Subway Series.
No, yeah.
That was.
So you don't get to watch any TV. The only time we got to see the World Trade Centers is because we were walking by, and you know, the guys are like, "Hey, come look at the TV inside at a, I think like a restaurant or cafe or something." So
Wow.
anyway, crazy. Yeah.
That's a crazy experience.
Yep.
So you finished up your mission trip. At some point you deployed, obviously. You know, kind of.
Yes.
So walk us through kind of how that happened, because National Guard,
Yeah.
most people are active duty, and it's a completely different game once reserves National Guard.
Totally. Yeah. And so when you join the National Guard, you're thinking that you're going to be protecting something in the homeland, right? Something, and that's your duty. But after 9/11, that completely changed. We just kind of became like another Army Reserve unit. So home, now just going to college. I'm doing summer sales, door to door, trying to just figure out what I want to be in life. And but find this lady, we get engaged. The day, like 2 weeks after we've been engaged, get a call from the captain saying, "Hey, you're deploying to Ramadi, Iraq. You're gonna go spend 18 months." So it was like 4 months training in Camp Shelby, Mississippi, and then the rest is gonna be kind of like, you know, in country, in and out of, you know, with Kuwait and that kind of stuff. So I'm like, sick, just got engaged. And he's like, "What day am I?" I said, "What day am I leaving?" He said, "Well, it's the day that was gonna be our wedding date." So we decided. So once again, like the same thing with the mission trip, it's like, all right, now I got to make a decision of who I want to be and what I want to be. So we got married the next week. We actually pushed it up, got married 7 days later, was married for 1 month before I left for 18 months.
Wow.
And you know, but those are the things, because you look at situations like that and you're like, man, did I make the right decision? It's obviously very rushed, but I'm a very religious person. I believe that, you know, that was intentional. God did that on purpose. He knew that I needed that kind of support when I was going to be gone for 18 months. So he put her in my life, and our relationship moved so quickly because he knew that I needed it. And so an incredible thing. Yeah. Then we go to Ramadi. We're on FOB Ramadi, which is a Marine base. Generally speaking, about 5,000 troops. I was a part of the original troop surge before they really called it a troop surge. First people wearing the ATUs in country, which was kind of cool because everybody else was wearing the old desert. And so people thought we were like a unique special unit. So like we kind of got a little respect out of the get-go. So that was kind of cool. But while I'm there, I'm artillery, right? I'm a 13 Bravo by training. And the whole time though, I was just out of the wire doing more like 11 Bravo kind of stuff, and 13 Foxtrot. So we were kind of calling for fire from artillery, but we were patrolling streets every day. That's all
Yeah.
we did.
Well,
Which was
Ramadi, you
great.
know, 506 was a crazy, crazy spot. I
Yeah,
mean, there's
extremely
movies
great.
about that area. So,
So if you Jocko Willink, if you know who he is, and Leif Babin, they wrote a book called Extreme Ownership, and they were in
great
spring
book.
2006. Amazing book. Then you look at the Chris Cow story, the American Sniper. I mean, part of that was the same time, Ramadi, Iraq. So yeah, that place was crazy. I mean, it's 15 miles west of Fallujah. It seems like people know about Fallujah more than Ramadi, even though Ramadi was a hotter spot than Fallujah at the time.
Fallujah's always been a crazy. It's close to the water. It's closer to the water. And that's why it's such a hot spot for fights because it's easy to. It's
Well,
a
we're both right along the Euphrates River. I mean, that's it. Anyway,
So it's great, crazy, crazy times for sure. I was
it's
it,
crazy.
it's called the so what's the triangle that's called for the Fallujah
Yeah, Sunni
Ramadi.
triangle.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you know,
Sunni
it's
triangle.
just nothing good goes on in that part of the world,
I
you
mean,
know.
I wasn't even there at Fab Ramadi for more than 4 hours until we got our first mortars dropping in, and we came in at night, right, by helicopter, and then every day we were getting mortared. I mean, we had hundreds killed while we were there. It was good. It was an extremely violent place.
It's bonkers. Well, when you get back, you know, and you're from that, which is a lot to say, and you're home, you know, what about that experience and transitioning to, you know, what you're doing now and aspirations? How did that go? Because that's it's hard to unplug from that.